This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show. Starring.
I'm here for it, bro.
I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
That song was at war with melody.
It's more than your tiny brain can handle, clearly. Keep it 100.
All right.
One of my things.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen.
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Your schedule is pretty, when you look at it, it's pretty from, how do you say that word?
Formidable.
Yeah, yes. Formidable. As far as them potentially going under.
Please don't use big words. I asked you that yesterday.
All right, so I'm sorry.
Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
The only state that's higher across the country is Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Mississippi is the lowest.
Chris, you know what I meant.
I get it.
What is it? It's not a state.
It's a Commonwealth. Oh,
it's a district.
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shiny. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Well, get past that.
Talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
What's it say?
I rest my case.
The
defense rests. I like that one.
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory. And I am 100% passing judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of. You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. You're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
All right. From the Foxwoods Resort Casino and the Alta Strada restaurant, which is right on the casino floor, where one of us was a big winner chicken dinner last night, and one of us is not going to be able to buy Christmas presents for their kids this summer.
Yeah, I mean, I took the L yesterday. And you know what? I'm going to say this with casinos and for people that are in charge. Hire Dale is that. If you're going to lose, at least have a damn smile on your face.
Oh, no.
So it's the dealer's fault.
Oh, of course. Remember, the dealers are like black clouds, right? They're like hurricanes coming through.
I believe,
if you're going to destroy my house, at least have a smile on your face while you're doing it.
I believe if you're up early and watching the show on Twitch, you can actually see Wiggy at the craps table last night. But that's not
No, the craps table was me. The craps table, I had a little bit more energy. I'm talking about the blackjack table.
Okay.
When the dealers look like they are being held hostage and they're miserable, it just brings the whole energy down to the table.
Huh.
And so I want my money back, Foxwoods.
I am nervous, though, because when we were asking how it was going, well, you came and sat down at dinner, and we said, how'd it go? And you said, well, if it was going good, I wouldn't be here, which, offensive. But,
very hurtful.
But then you just seemed like you were kind of in a daze the rest of the evening.
It was a funk.
He was
in a funk.
I would say it was his normal, abnormal fugue state.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you lose money, Courtney. I don't know about you, but generally it tends to upset you.
No, that's why I was worried about you. But then I asked, are you going to go back out there? And you said, nope, I'm good, which is the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to chase that monkey.
Good.
Do you need gas money to get home? Or
no, I should be all right.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Far be it for me to correct anything Wiggy says, but from my point of view, if I'm losing money, I didn't lose. If I'm losing money, the last thing I'd want is the dealer to be laughing and smiling. I'd be like he was reveling in my demise.
True. Yeah.
No, but just give me a little be perky. Man, that one stinks for you.
Okay.
I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you out here. You know, oh, these cards are not that kind of thing. Not. First off, you got to go slow because I can't count that fast. And then you're pulling out a five and a six card Charlie, like boom, 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 two, three, three. And I'm like, what do you got? Oh, and then like 21.
Can I ask about casino culture? Because I learned something yesterday. I had checked in and I was at the little store down in the lobby. And I was like, oh, do you have any gum? And they said no, because I couldn't find it anywhere. They said, you don't sell gum in a casino because people use it to cheat.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's probably a lot of things that they don't sell.
Like gum?
I mean, what would they use it for? Like something with rolling dice or?
I don't know.
I would never have thought that.
Same. Yeah. I said, oh my God, they think that I'm here to cheat.
Right. You're like Zach Galifianakis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah. Great movie.
Curtis, big winner last night.
I took $100, made water into wine, left with $387.50.
Good job.
And I've never experienced anything like it. A very nice lady to my left was giving me some pointers. I sat down. It was a $25 minimum. I'm like, oh, this is going to be quick. Played 25 a hand.
All right.
Didn't lose a hand.
Yeah.
Two double downs. Won both.
Mm.
And then the gentleman got up to leave. New dealer. I said, adios.
Very demure. Very mindful.
Yes,
very mindful.
And I got, the big winner is James. I got these Crocs at the Tanger Outlet.
Wow. Okay. Those must have set you back.
So it was not quite as big money as I thought. Right. But
those are adorable.
Thank you. These are just, you know, a way to remember Pudge on your feet.
So who's the old man now? Who comes to the casino, wins some money, and goes shopping? That's you. You're the old person.
I was the old person getting my steps in, walking around.
Yeah.
I have to say, not a bad spot.
Yeah.
Beds? Some of the most comfortable I've ever slept in.
Really?
People on Twitch were saying Foxwoods has unbelievably comfortable beds, and when you sat on them, I was like, oh, yeah, they seem fine. Laying down, very good experience.
You like the bounciness, I noticed.
Yes.
Then, huh?
Jesus.
Well, because they are bouncy.
They were, yeah.
You know, they're not like those those foam type of mattresses.
Yeah.
So
I wasn't bouncing, but
Courtney must like, they got a little bit of, she must like the springboard bed.
Yes.
Did you sleep okay, or if you didn't, is it the dealer's fault?
It's always the dealer's fault.
I just wanted to make
Anytime
sure.
Anytime you lose at the casino, blame the casino. It's the dealer's fault.
At least you looked fire, because that red jumpsuit is something special.
We can revisit that on Twitch and YouTube this morning. I love the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It was the town shirt that you had on the show yesterday. I don't know about the red sweats.
Yeah, they were the joggers.
Do you have a matching jacket,
too?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I have to say, Courtney and I went to, we were the first here, and then Brett arrived. And Brett's telling Courtney and I that he just saw Wiggy screaming at the craps table.
Yeah.
And I said, you're going to have to be more specific. And then he sat down and we're like, please tell us you caught this. And he shows us the video. It is amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
It's so perfectly wicked.
That's how I shoot. You know, I'm not like, craps is my game, but I like street craps. So I'm learning like some of the casino craps, like when, you know, like some of the bets and the field and all that. Like I know the the whole foundation of playing craps, but I'm a street crap guy, so there's a lot of talking when you're rolling the dice. Come on, Nina Ross. Come on, 9. Come on, 44. Ah, give me that Teddy Bruschi, 5-4. I'm trying to hit the 9. Little Joe back though.
Uh-huh.
Flowers. So, you know, yeah. I tend to get into
right.
it when I'm rolling dice.
Mojo or whatever. You're trying to, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to talk to the dice. You know, right. you always hear right. saying, Mama need a new pair of shoes.
Yeah. But unfortunately, Mama's not getting her shoes.
No, she's not getting them shoes.
She's not.
Not
right.
this go around.
Well, listen, we are here for the Echo Store Invitational Golf Tournament, and we're here all morning at Alta Strada, which is a great restaurant, our good pal Michael Schlau's restaurant here at Foxwoods, and we got a lot to get to on the show. I think maybe, unfortunately, our arrival in the Nutmeg State jinxed Caitlin Clark out of her first opportunity to advance
yeah.
in the WNBA playoffs, but a pretty good season for
yeah.
her, and she
hell
probably
of a season.
And she, you know, changed the game of women's professional basketball. I think
she brought she brought light to it.
Yeah,
I think she is officially one of the most transformational. I don't know the exact word.
Transformative.
But the last night, I got back to the room, and I see on social media, Caitlin Clark, I had forgotten about it. We saw it when we were at the DraftKings Sportsbook.
Yeah.
And I put it on for the final 5 minutes. I was actively engaged watching mm-hmm. a WNBA game, something I had never...
Yeah.
Right down to the end. And two things. One, the women hate her, man. That's legit.
Like, women in the league hate her. Yes.
Hate.
Yes.
And
which I don't get.
I don't either.
I don't, like, it's dumb. Like, she's done so much for your game. You're
right.
all going to make more money.
Correct.
Like, it's all jealousy, right?
Yeah,
it's
1,000%.
And I hate to say it. It's way more, I think, of a female thing
yeah.
than it is a guy thing.
No, you're right.
I do 100%.
But you are spot on, because her rising to the top, I heard this morning, she has the top 5 jersey sale among all athletes.
In any sport.
In any sport.
All sports.
I believe it.
That's pretty
top
cool.
5.
You do? Oh, my God. Think about, just for women alone, how many girls that were watching the WNBA, and no matter where you are in the country, I'm sure Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are the jersey that girls ask their mom and dad yeah. for.
Not yeah. even girls, though, because I've seen a lot of grown men. Like, it's a cool jersey to wear, like, yeah. out. If you're a guy
yeah.
that wears jerseys, like, that is
yeah.
one that I think is hot.
I would definitely rock a Clark or
yeah.
a Reese jersey, for sure.
But I think it's also...
Also, if you're a grown man that wears jerseys, stop.
Yes.
I'm with you, but I'm not going to.
Please.
A lot of men wear jerseys.
Okay, please.
You're just in the wrong community to see them.
It has nothing to do with the Seaport or my community.
Oh yeah.
I don't think if you're over the age of 20, you ought to be wearing a jersey.
This is a fight I have with Santo.
Yeah.
We'll be going to a Bruins game. He always comes out in the Pooh Bear, and I'm like, please take it off.
But there's so many cool jerseys. Like, the Waterboy jersey is like such a cool jersey. Like, a lot of people still wearing jerseys in fashion. It's starting to come back. And you know who's wearing a lot of them, Courtney? Women.
Jerseys.
Yes.
Well, yeah, they like to make them into a dress.
Yeah, like it's an outfit. So, yeah, the jersey thing is cool, Greg. You just hang around a different crowd.
But when you say transformative athlete, like, I think of the level of Jackie Robinson or something like that.
My lifetime, I don't know. Jackie Robinson was overcoming something that Caitlin Clark is not. Caitlin Clark, her entire life, has been able to participate in whatever sports she wanted to. What I would say is, it is the Tiger Woods
Tiger,
of today.
I was going to say Tiger Woods, yes.
Because it's similar. It's not just women, uh-huh. Greg, because Phil Mickelson, since the time when Tiger broke in, has admitted that he was bitter and that Tiger has enriched him and everyone on the tour to the tune of billions of dollars that wouldn't have been there had he not broken in and brought the massive audience that came with him. The thing watching last night, it reminded me, honestly, of when you came here and you were trying to do something different, and the people that were here fought it so hard, not realizing that you were brought in here because things had to change. And I'm watching the WNBA last night, and I'm like, these women that are just, like, so angry at Caitlin Clark are biting the hand that feeds them.
Right.
It's the bird magic effect for the WNBA. If you remember that time in the NBA, and, you know, there are a lot of people that probably remember, like, you know, what was it, 79, 80, when Bird and Magic got into the league. It's that effect of what they've been able to do. They've brought light to the WNBA, where, you know, it had been around and you know, no one really watched it. They brought that instant – interesting drama. There is now it's social media. There's people can jump on board the train. They can, you know, give their opinions about everything. And so I think what you see, especially with Caitlin Clark, she has that Larry Bird effect when it comes to her skills in the WNBA and what she's been able to accomplish. Yeah. So I think it's, like you said, it's great for the WNBA and as far as for those players. They're adding another team. Portland's going to have an expansion team. So clearly it must be doing well. And
well, they must want a team in Boston, especially after the success that they had when they played that game here, I would
and
assume.
And we have a
change the season,
team.
Though.
Yeah, so the fan base is here.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, Connecticut Sun advance and Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever do not. And more on that, I'm sure, this morning.
Transcendent. That's the word I was
going to say. Oh, transcendent.
Right. That's the word. Yeah. Right. That's the word of the day.
Breakthrough, right. Breakthrough beyond just what the WNBA audience would be.
Well, we have a lot to get to this morning on the show, including our leads coming up in about 10 minutes at 6:25. And since I am harangued frequently everywhere I go because the leads are not done on time, they will be done on time this morning, because after the leads, we will talk with the head coach of Boston College football, Bill O'Brien. That is at 6:45 on this morning show. And then they said it at 7. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. We'll get to Courtney and the news today at 7:45. That includes Florida not like the rest of us and why you should never argue over a jukebox selection at a Mexican restaurant in the Anything Goes state. It doesn't go well. Do you know what a jukebox is?
I think there's an app for them now where you can you can play the song through the app, and they're at bars.
Shime, ask a boomer. You don't play it. Traditionally, you wouldn't play it through an app.
Yeah, Courtney's talking about touch tunes. I am very familiar with a jukebox, Greg.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Is it a jute or a juke?
A juke.
Juke. Was it Fonzie that would go up and punch it and play the right song?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Hey, yes.
All right.
Yes.
Not the Fonzarelli.
Yes, the record would come down and that was the song would start to start off Happy Days. Shime, how do you know Happy Days of all shows?
Greg, there's a lot of just weird tidbits stuck up in this
the coolest character.
You're an old soul.
Is it that's also
Fonzie
the show
was,
where we
Fonzie
got jumped
the coolest.
Yes, that's where the term jump the shark comes from.
The leather jacket, the cars, the motorcycle back in that era, the girls, Fonzie was the coolest.
Pretty good show. Not going to lie. Pretty good show. Curtis, you remember it it was yesterday?
It brings me back to my happy days.
But so many spinoffs off of it. Joni Loves Chachi.
Yes.
Mork and Mindy.
Yes.
I did not realize that.
Succession.
Secret Life of Mormon Wives.
Started that last night, Courtney. Holy cannoli.
Good recommendation.
Wild. Yeah. Absolutely wild.
Mom talk.
I have to tell you, the reason why abstinence has never worked is anybody who's told they can't do something does it 5 million times more than they would if they just were allowed to do it a little bit at some point.
Yeah. Those Mormons, at least the ones on the show, they're out of control. Yeah.
They're 23 with four kids.
Yeah. They're very horny. Yeah.
And things get crazier and crazier as the season goes. I know you just started it. So.
Oh, wild.
All right, so news at 7:45 and one of the final Red Sox front office reports of this season at 9 with Craig Breslow. And then here with us at Altastrada at Foxwoods at 9:20. PGA Tour player Jake Knapp, who I can't wait to talk to. He's a Twitch gamer, so those of you that are watching the show on Twitch, one of your brothers joining us at 9:20. And he won in February, won the event, the tour event in Mexico, walked away with $1.6 million as a rookie. And so I don't know if I guess we can ask whether they – I don't know if they Venmo that or you get the big checks.
It's pretty good.
$1.6
million.
They send it to you later, or I don't know how that goes. So,
stuck in enough.
Yes.
What's my routing number, honey?
$1.6 million. Pretty good.
Yeah, cash at me.
What's
not
the
bad.
Tax on that?
I don't know. Tax is probably half
of
it.
Uncle Sam got to get his cut.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I would guess half. So all that happening this morning. Right now, though, Courtney, and what is trending this first hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. The Red Sox hot streak comes to an end last night. 6-1, the final, a loss against the Blue Jays. The guys off tonight before welcoming the Rays to Fenway tomorrow for their final series of the regular season, if you can believe it. We'll talk with Craig Breslow this morning about the Sox end of the season. Caitlin Clark's rookie season has come to an end with the Sun taking out the Fever in the postseason. Clark has said she's not going to play overseas during this offseason, so we don't have a Clark game on the schedule till May. I think that's the correct move for her. Give her a break.
Well, yeah. She doesn't have to do it because a lot of women go overseas to play because they make more money over right. there. That's why. But she makes good money. She doesn't have to do that.
Yeah. So just to recap her rookie season, she was the first rookie to record a triple-double, a WNBA record for most assists in a season, the record for most threes made by a rookie, the fastest player to 500 points and 200 assists. She helped lead the Fever to their first playoff since 2016. She set viewership and attendance records across the board, and she signed a $28 million Nike deal.
Pretty good for a rookie season.
Not
pretty
bad good. At all.
Yeah. We have a rookie quarterback who's not going to see a reasonably legit snap until December. So,
I loved the presser yesterday. He's still getting 30% of the snaps, but he's also the scout quarterback, which was made clear, which I'm sure is helping his progression.
Well, we've got Thursday Night Football tonight. We'll see the Cowboys taking on the Giants in New York. And today only, stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Today's daily deal is pretzel roll sandwiches for $5 each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh.
Have you hammered anything for tonight yet, Sean?
Not a thing. I think I'm gonna lay the 5.5 with the Cowboys, but that's about it. I got nothing going in this game.
5.5 with the Cowboys. All right.
Why are you keeping track of everything that Shyam says he's betting on?
I also didn't actually hammer the Shyam. I said, I think that's what I'm going to do, but I have nothing in this
game. If you say it on the show, it's going in the dock.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
What is your intent?
Keep those receipts.
I want to make sure that we're all, you know.
Greg, the Greg Hill Show is many things, but we are certainly transparent.
Uh-huh. I see.
And we need to make people aware that if we say we're winning bets, that we're winning bets.
You have an actual Excel spreadsheet, I see, on your computer?
Yes.
Keeping track of what Chaim has suggested he is wagering on the show.
Yep.
Greg okay. is looking at Courtney open a Google Doc the way I watch David Blaine. It's 58 degrees and cloudy, afternoon high of 70.
All right, we are at Foxwoods for the Echo Store Invitational Golf Tournament. Is it gonna rain, or are we gonna be able to get
afternoon? We're gonna get some rain. Actually, I think down in Connecticut. Let me see my modeling. Right now, we got a potential Category 4 hurricane.
Yeah,
pummeling the Panhandle.
You said there weren't gonna be any hurricanes this season.
Oh no, nope. I said that it is not a historic.
Put that in your doc.
Didn't you say?
I said. But prior to the hurricane season, they said we may run out of names.
Yes.
It will be historic with 4 to 5 major hurricanes. We have had one, if this makes landfall.
Okay.
So one instead of five is a pretty big difference.
Okay.
Every year we have hurricanes. It's called weather.
Okay.
It's Miami's mascot.
All right. But we'll probably be okay over at Lake of Isles.
Lake of Isles will be fine.
All right. They don't bring one of those hurricane dealers with you.
We are going to get to our leads coming up next.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Sean, great poll based on our discussion earlier about Florida not like the rest of us coming up during the news. and the incident over a jukebox selection. Foreigner, great catalog. Excellent catalog, Curtis. You would agree. Foreigner, you love Foreigner.
I really do, especially because for a brief time while living in England, I was one.
Okay. We are at Foxwoods for the Echo Store Invitational Golf Tournament coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes. Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, who bought off the loyalty of a couple members of the show with giant merch bags this week.
We appreciate it in
the form of Courtney and Curtis, not Wiggy and I, but that's fine. Bill O'Brien at 6:45, and then they said it coming up at 7 on this morning show. But Shime, let's get right to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
For time, so I don't know who is that.
This is your boy Eddie Money with Gambling Man. This one's for my guy Wiggs, who's hanging out at the craft table last night.
Yeah, not a win, not a good night for Wiggy.
No,
Eddie Money, not a hit, but I mean, I don't think that was a top 40 hit, Gambling Man.
Uh-oh.
We should do all gambling related, casino related rejoins this morning. Shine.
All right, I might need a little help. I got two more on my brain that I could probably toss out, but
Kenny Rogers. Three.
Oh yeah, Kenny.
That's a must.
Yeah, I was one of the
warm summer's
poker
evening.
Face by Lady Gaga, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. You're taking requests, I would assume.
Yeah.
Bare naked ladies. If I had $1 million.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yes. And for those keeping track, may I point out that it is 6:32 and Leeds spot on schedule wise this morning.
Good job.
Under my watch. Shime, good morning.
Morning, Greg.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I'm just dealing with a little bit of a sore throat. But
No.
Sorry. No big deal.
That was for me.
Okay. Maybe allergies or.
No, I definitely have like a cold, but it's fine. Oh. Yeah, it's just a cold.
The Rona?
No,
it's not the Rona.
Okay.
Well, the weekend's almost here, so. Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't take ivermectin.
Tomorrow is a flex day for Shine.
Nope. I was here yesterday when it started. I'm here today. When it's going on, I will be here tomorrow. No worries.
We appreciate your service.
Of course, Greg. Anything for you. Anyways, here's my thing. I think I'm kind of out on the Patriots until Drake May hits the field. I'm just like, I am fully prepared for an absolute smackdown this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm already kind of tired of the rhetoric I get from the head coach about Drake May, like their desire to just not even want to think about playing him is infuriating. Jacoby Brissett brings nothing to this offense, like not a thing, and I think actually hinders it. And so I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of bored with this team, and it's like I don't want to be. I was excited for the season. I'm excited for the future of this team, and yet right now I sit here. I'm just like, well, this is not going to be fun. We're going to walk into San Francisco, get our teeth kicked in, and just call it a day. It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited for a 4 o'clock start that's going to end in like 20 minutes after the kickoff. So it's like I don't know, man. Just play the kid for the love of God. Give us something to root for. Give us something to look forward to. That's all I ask.
Well, I mean, everybody felt this same way heading into week one, and the result was completely different than expected. So maybe you're able to fly, you know, to the West Coast and somehow pull off a win on Sunday.
But today you didn't know that day that the Bengals would be 0-3.
Right.
And so the win is totally different in the way we view it.
Did you think the Niners would be coming off a loss for this
game? No, but that's the worst possible scenario. Because
they need a get-right game.
The Niners are a much better team. They're going to be focused. I would be shocked if they win on Sunday. Okay. Absolutely shocked.
Yeah. All right. Shime, thank you.
You're welcome.
I, for one, remain loyal. I will watch every game in misery.
It'll be painful, but we'll watch.
It will be painful, but I will watch. Curtis, hello. Good morning.
Good morning. I have to say, I often get critiqued that I'm too harsh on our former head coach, Bill Belichick. Whoever is behind the scenes, whether it's an agent or Jordan or if it's just Bill himself, I finally understand the method to the madness. I watched yesterday the podcast with he and Matt Patricia talking about week 3, where you are as a team. and he's explaining chapter and verse on how to get a good team to be great. What you have to do in that locker room, what you are after 3 weeks, how you don't know what you are, but you can't win a division, but you can lose it. And I feel like this is just a prolonged job interview for all the NFL execs of teams that are underachieving. And yesterday, Adam Schefter went on the afternoon show, which occurs in the afternoon.
Right. Yes, it does.
I mean, so it doesn't lie. Here's what Schefter said about Bill's opportunities next year.
Bill obviously is going to be a little choosy in the sense that he's not going to go to a bad team. So it's going to be a highly competitive team. And I just think you just look at the NFC East. And to me, inevitably, somebody's going to fall short in that division. I don't know whether that's the Giants or the Cowboys or the Eagles or a combination. And to me, those are the first places you look in that division.
So Adam Schefter has always been well-connected with the Patriots, always been well-connected with Bill Belichick. And to me, another masterstroke, because all of those fan bases, I was saying the other day, my buddy, Eagles fan, Giants fan, Commanders fan, they all are sitting there saying, oh, my God, he's coming to our division.
Yeah.
We better go after him because, like, the Giants losing Saquon to the Eagles, another team in that division doesn't want to have to coach against Bill Belichick and tell their fans they had a chance to sign him.
Yeah.
And they passed and they brought back Brian Daboll.
So he's creating demand,
yep,
is what you're saying.
He's creating a market, and he's explaining why he should do it.
Yeah.
I think it's been a brilliant masterstroke.
Okay, Curtis, great lead. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Yesterday I stood up for Travis Kelce and, you know, got ridiculed, criticized for it. So don't listen to me, but why don't you listen to his head coach? Here's Andy Reid.
You know, I know people are saying that he's old or whatever, has distractions and all this, and the defenses don't think that. And so we have another receiver that plays opposite him that has a lot of yards and catches. And that's how this thing goes. So Trav is fine. He just keeps being Trav. He works his tail off, and he hasn't lost a step and all those things. He's not distracted. That's not the case. People are making sure they have him taken care of by some of these defenses.
Okay.
So give it a rest. Everybody that wants to point fingers or blame the woman that he got in a relationship with, just give it a rest.
It's
people, Wiggy, always love to point at the woman. If the guy falls off, it's always a woman's fault.
So what is it? Because he went 7 years.
Andy Reid just told you.
He went 7 years or 8 years of 1,000 yards receiving. And guess what? The league knew about him then.
Andy Reid just told you the defenses have finally figured it out.
Yeah. Okay, so the defenses finally figured it out. A guy who's 32 years old, who's been in the league for, I don't know, 10 or 12 years, who had 7 or 8 1,000-yard seasons as a tight end. Now, all of a sudden, they're triple-teaming him at 32?
Yeah.
Stop it. He looks miserable. He looks like he's washed. We know he's been on the potty tour.
It's not really a party tour.
Well, whatever. You know, the potty tour.
He's very busy. He's got the podcast.
He's all over the place.
He's got to go to the Met Gala opening, whatever the thing is with her. He went to like an opening in a restaurant on a Tuesday night.
Oh, come on.
Do you think his focus is the same?
Yes, I think he is able to be focused on multiple things. It's not a Taylor Swift issue, and it's just haters.
Of course it is, Courtney.
You're a hater.
I have to say, Greg is so right to rip people for going out to dinner on a work
day. Yeah. How dare he go to a restaurant opening?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Greg's left his house 2 years.
All right. I think we'll hear from the man himself when we get to They Said It Chime at 7. Is that correct?
Yes, we will, Greg.
Okay. Excellent. Wiggy, good morning.
All right. Good morning.
Sorry for your loss last night.
No, that's okay. I am excited, though. And I'm with Chime. I'm still going to watch the Patriots. But I'm just ready for this season to be over so I can see where Bill lands. But my excitement is that of getting ready to watch my beloved Boston Celtics go for a repeat. And after hearing Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and all of the stuff that kind of has transpired, especially when you hear Tatum talk about, and he had another interview where he talked about
the MVP.
And he'll win MVP one day, which means he'll win another championship. And he's right. Steph Curry's got 4 chips, only 1 MVP. And, you know, it is what it is. But when you start to look at Tatum and you start to hear him talk like that, I think he's going to take his game to another level. And he's already been criticized because there are people who still don't feel like he's one of the top five players in the league.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so he's always got something to prove. He's got a big chip on his shoulder.
Revenge tour. Olympics. Jaylen Brown was chosen as the playoff MVP.
Yeah.
He's going to use all that, and you're excited about it.
I am so excited to see this Boston Celtics team. The only concern that I have is, you know, how poor Porzingis is going to be, how long the injury is going to keep him out, what's he going to look like when he comes back, and then when he does come back, you know, is he going to deal with something else?
So he says he's great. You know, he said on Tuesday that he feels great.
Mm-hmm.
So
I hope so, but isn't he's not going to start the season off, though.
It sounded like he was.
Really?
What it sounded like.
I thought at the end of the season they made it seem like he was going to miss
Sounded like he was. But who knows?
I would put him in bubble wrap until June.
But I am super excited with the Celtics team. I can't wait for basketball to get here.
All right, Wiggy, thank you.
You got it.
We may have gotten a little bit of a hint yesterday when it comes to the defense of P. Diddy that his attorneys will offer. And it seems brilliant. One of his attorneys spoke yesterday, Mark Agnafifa, and suggested a possible explanation for the over 1,000 bottles of baby oil and lube that the federal authorities found during the raid at P. Diddy's home.
Good.
Here is his attorney.
I don't think it was 1,000. I think it was a lot. I mean, there's a Costco right down the street. You know, I think Americans buy in bulk, as we know. And, you know, this is consensual adults doing what consensual adults do. You know, we can't get so puritanical in this country to think that somehow sex is a bad thing, because if it was, there'd be no more people.
What?
Oh, well.
Okay. So, I mean, the guy, he's a big Costco guy, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want to save when it comes to, probably on a budget.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's got a $50 million home or whatever, so paying for that and the chandeliers and the furniture. Who has money to go out and buy your baby oil and your lube at retail price? You probably want to go to Costco and buy 1,000 bottles.
If I was the lawyer, I would have said that he's a doomsday guy. So he buys in bulk for the end of the world.
Yeah. All right. Great explanation.
Well, he does buy in bulk, you know. Yeah. I mean, I love Costco.
Right. And the man is right. If you're not having orgies, the world population would die off.
Right.
So,
what kind of world will we live in?
Yes, I mean,
well, we know what his defense is now. Yes. It was all consensual.
It was all consensual. That's where they're going. So we'll see what happens. All right. Anyway, those are this morning's leads. Coming up next, we will talk, as we always do on Thursdays, with the head coach of Boston College football, Bill O'Brien, next.
The Greg Hill Show. You're listening to The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
For Boston, for Boston, we sing our proud refrain. For Boston, for Boston, since wisdom's earthly fame. For here are one and our hearts are true, and the towns and the heights whose heavens all move. For Boston, till the echoes ring again.
Locker room rendition of For Boston, the alma mater, means that it is Bill O'Brien time. The head coach of Boston College football joins us right now. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Hey, Greg, how you guys doing?
Doing great. You can't see us. We're on Twitch, but you probably aren't watching. Wiggy and I are wearing our Western Kentucky Moms t-shirts this morning since some merch arrived here at the radio station for Courtney and Curtis, and none arrived for us.
Oh, no. Oh, we got man. Hold on. I got to get with Bears. We got to get the tracking number out. We got to check the tracking number.
Oh, I see.
It's in the mail.
Gorgeous merch, let me tell you.
This,
we have the right address.
This sounds like one of the excuse we just played from Diddy's lawyer. All right, so it's Bill. It's in the mail.
Right.
The merch is in the mail.
It's on the way. I'm sorry, okay. Wig. I'm sorry, Greg.
Sorry.
It's on the way.
I had run
it's
out of the bigger sizes.
I'm a 2X. Yeah.
I'm not going there.
Well, listen. Great to have you on again, and I. Once again, every week is big for this team. You said that this week, but you also said that you're not allowing these guys to end up looking at this or having this be a trap game. That's a concern, I guess, going into Western Kentucky.
I mean, that what I have said is that phrase should never be used at Boston College. I mean, who the hell are we to be talking about a trap game? I mean, it's ridiculous. We have to play very well. And we have to improve every week to be able to have a shot to win. You know, we've got a bunch of guys that are working hard, and they really, you know, care about, you know, the team and BC. But we have to. There's no such thing as a trap game. I think that's that I just try never to use that in front of our team.
Well, I know you didn't want to give away what you said during halftime on TV because you said you'd have to go to confessional, but we're a little bit more racy on the radio side. Could you give us a taste, just a little bit, of what you told those boys to come out stronger?
Yeah, I was, you know, very upset with myself, the coaching staff, the players, and yeah, there were a few, you know, probably words that, you know, Father Leahy, Father Jack would not have approved of. You know, I haven't been to confession in a couple of years. I probably am due for confession. But, you know, I think the thing is, like, these guys, you know, look, I think they try to do it the way we want to do it. But at the end of the day, we have to get them to that. That's our job as coaches. We've got to teach them and show them, hey, this is what we need to do. And then they have to go out there and execute it. And I think it's a combination of the two. And I think, you know, I'm not saying that was why we won the game. No halftime speech ever won a game. But I think it kind of put them on high alert, that's for sure.
Billy, this team appears to win games that I always think prior BC teams would lose. And I just watched that second half, and the moment of the fans running on the field and your conversation with ACC Network where, you know, you said God bless, you know, the Crowther family and God bless Wells Crowther. I can't tell you how much that meant and that what that crystallized about where this program is now. Engaged with the fan base, the student body entirely behind it. And I was saying to Courtney, it's not like the Matt Ryan years because we're not waiting for the team to fall off a cliff when Matt leaves. It feels like what you're building here is sustainable.
I appreciate that, Curtis. I really do. I think that we try very hard to get these guys to understand that they have to play hard on every snap. They've got to play with great effort, that the game is never over, right? I mean, it was like, you know, we were down 19-16 with 3 minutes to go. I mean, the game's never over. A lot of these guys have dreams of playing pro football. That's what most pro football games are like that. They're very close, right? They come down to, you got to play the whole game. And I think one of the best things about the other night was the crowd. And we have to play well and play hard to keep the crowd coming. You know, I think that's really important for BC that we continue to try to play as good as we can so people want to come watch us play. I thought that atmosphere for Boston College was really good the other night. So we have to keep playing at a high level of, you know, of effort every single game.
Bill, I wanted to delve into something that you touched briefly on when you were on the Edelman podcast this week or when they aired it. And that was that you had the opportunity to stay with the Patriots, but I don't want to speak for you, but you wanted to give Jerod Mayo the opportunity to build his own staff. Is that a fair assessment of what you said?
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. Look, last year was tough at the Patriots, and I don't want to get into all the details, but it wasn't like a great situation. And I think one of the things that you know, being somebody that's been coaching for 32 years, been a head coach, my third head coaching job, you know, I really have a strong belief that you have to have, you know, everybody together and everybody on the same page. I came there to work for Bill, and, you know, it was a bad year. It was a tough year. We were all, everybody had to share in that blame. We moved on. I think he's got a really good staff there. He's doing a, you know, look, I know where they're at, but they've got a lot of really good coaches on that staff. And I know some of those guys, like Bobby Bicknell and you know, Evan Rothstein. I mean, they've got some really good, sharp coach. DeMarcus Covington's a hell of a coach. Mike Pellegrino, Brian Belichick. Like, they've got a really strong staff of guys. So, you know, I think that they're headed in, you know, the right direction when it comes to that. So, you know, I think we're all in a better spot than we were, and I think that's what coaching's all about.
Wiggy's head exploded yesterday when we played some audio from Dan Orlovsky saying that he would not in any way, shape, or form play Drake May at all this season. When it comes to rookie quarterbacks, you don't have to talk specifically about Drake May, but rookie quarterbacks, if you were that, you were on that staff, you were the offensive coordinator, would you want to get Drake May in there just purely so you see what you have?
I think the big thing is that, again, I think it's important to know, like, what's around him, right? Is he going to be, you know, well-protected? Is he picking things up in practice? Like, is he able to redirect protections? Is he able to, you know, get out of a bad play, put us into a good play? I think there's a lot that goes into it. You know, look, you drafted the guy at number three. I mean, you're going to want this guy to play pretty quickly. I mean, I had Deshaun Watson in Houston when he was a rookie. We started a veteran, Tom Savage, but quickly we went to Deshaun Watson, and you know, because he could escape, he could do some things, and we were doing some things offensively that suited his skill set. Look, at the end of the day, you drafted the guy at number three. You're going to want this guy to play at some point, but they must not think that either he's not ready or, you know, they're not ready to support him in the right way. You know, they're in the building. They know what's going on. They're making the best decisions for the team, in their opinion.
Is it a legit argument when some suggest that it's their concern about the offensive line and he's going to get killed out there? Like, I mean, isn't that football? Isn't that playing the position in the NFL?
Yeah, I do think that. But, I mean, if you're struggling to, you know, whether, like, for example, at the tackle position, you know, if you're struggling to block a really good pass rusher and you're not chipping for him and you're not, you know, whatever it might be, you know, and he gets tattooed, that's just not a great thing, especially if it's happening over and over again. I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm just, you know, saying, hey, that might be what the conversations are in the building. Or it might be, hey, look, he's not quite ready yet. You know, we don't believe he's ready yet, and when he's ready, we'll put him in there.
I wanted to ask you about the situation at UNLV. Wiggy had this as a lead the other day. The quarterback and his agent say that they gave him a verbal promise of $100,000. It ended up being $3,000, so he redshirted and left.
It sounds like Brockton.
Is that
right? Where's my money?
$85,000.
Is this a good thing for college football?
No. Not at all. I think there's a lot that's going on right now, really, in the courts. There's litigation. I've read a lot about the UNLV situation. Last night I read a lot about it. I'm not really sure what exactly happened there. I know what we do at Boston College. You know, we're part of this NIL program, but that's not the biggest part of our program. We have an earn it philosophy here. You know, you've got to be a good locker room guy. You've got to be somebody that goes to class, that participates in the community. You know, you don't want to – I don't think you ever want to – I might be naive. I really might be. People have accused me of that before. But, like, how can you promise a guy who's really not been in your program yet, you know, more than somebody, like, you know, that's been in your program for 3 or 4 years, that has bled for you, sweated for you, done everything you've asked him to do, and now you're going to give this guy – who's never been in your program more than that guy? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. We have an earn it philosophy here, and that's, you know, how we try to, you know, we try to stick to that philosophy.
Bill, how do you make sure, because that's a really interesting point right there. Like, how do you make sure, because it seems like with a lot of kids like this, they're promised, whether it's money, whether it's playing time, like, how do you make sure that you're as transparent as possible when you're recruiting these kids to come? And I know coaches will tell you anything to get you to come to the school, but how do you make sure that your word is bond, in the sense where, like, okay, you're gonna, if I tell you you're gonna get an opportunity, or if I tell you that we're gonna give you X, how do you make sure that you, as a head coach, try to be as transparent and as honest and upfront as possible?
I think that's the key, Wig. I'm just speaking for myself. I don't promise anything. I promise, you know, you're going to work hard. I promise the parents that I'm going to make sure that they go to class. I talk a lot about Boston College, what Boston College can do for their son. I don't promise anything. I think when I worked for, you know, for instance, when I worked for Nick Saban, I didn't promise anything there. I told him, look, this is going to be a very challenging place to play football. You're going to have to earn it every single day in the building. You know, you're going to have to practice very well to be able to earn a spot here. You know, I think you've got to be upfront. That's how you develop a trusting relationship with the family. I think the key is that, in my opinion, the head coaches have to establish a relationship with the parents or whoever the parental figures are. And I think that's a big key that we try to do. We don't get into, you know, a bunch of promises, because promises don't work out. You know, it's just like life, man. Whatever you do, I believe in order to be a success, you've got to earn it. You got to show that you're competent enough to show up every day and earn it. And I think that's what we try to do here.
Well, on Julian's podcast, I found it great that he talked about speaking with your team right now and saying that the BC guys were hungry, wanted to learn. In this landscape of college football where you see head coaches leaving because they say that they can't deal with the way that the players are expecting millions of dollars and everything just handed to them, have you found it to be different than your last coaching stint in college? Like, is there a big change in 2024 than you've seen in the past?
I mean, it's a little bit different. You know, when I was at Alabama, the second year there, I would say is really, I would say that Bryce Young was the very first, you know, real NIL player. You know, now I didn't know exactly what was going on with him. I was an assistant coach, but, you know, I would say it's changed, you know, and there are collectives, and every school has a collective, and we have a collective here called the Friends of the Heights that do a great job. And so it has changed. But one thing, Courtney, I have not really experienced really anybody that's just come to me and said, hey, how much are you going to pay my son? Because at Boston College, like, that's not what we're looking for. Now, what we're looking for is a young man that comes from a family that has dreams of playing pro football, but also understands that football doesn't last forever. I say this all the time. Of all the high school players, you know, everybody that plays football in high school, only 2.5% of those players play Division I college football. Of those players, only 1.5% make it to pro football. So, like, you need to have a degree. And if you have a Boston College degree and you've played good football at Boston College, I mean, you've got a world of opportunities when you graduate here. So there's more to life than NIL. And I think that is a part of it. But I think that there's more for us here at BC that we can talk to families about.
Well, we understand why you may have missed that at Alabama, because I think Mac Jones got it out there that he was teaching you the offense at the time.
Is
that,
oh, boy.
Was that what was going on, if I remember correctly?
Oh, boy.
I actually learned a lot about the offense from when I was there from Steve Sarkisian. I spent some time with him, and then from Bryce Young. Young knew the offense very, very well, and he helped me with it. So, no, yeah, that's kind of how it went there.
Any shot that Arch Manning enters the transfer portal to BC next year?
Oh, no, I don't think so. He looks like he's doing just Quinn's fine at the University. He's doing fine. He's doing fine at
Bill, we appreciate it. Yep. It's and just quick reminder, it's XL for me unless they're the slim fit, and then I probably need the double X.
No, it's the tracking number. I swear to God, we got to check. It's on its way, Wig and Greg. I promise you.
All right, good luck this week. Thanks, Bill.
Good job.
See you guys. Thank you.
All right. That's Bill O'Brien. We are at Foxwoods, and we will be back. We'll get Shine. We should probably get to They Said It at 7:20, if that's okay.
That sounds great, Greg.
Travis Kelce. We'll hear what he had to say. What else?
We know a BC education will get you on the radio.
Yep.
Right.
100%.
High-paying job.
All right. So all of that coming up from Foxwoods on the Greg Hill Show here at WEEI.